This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
After months of war, today could be the day Europe agrees a plan to reduce dependence on Russian energy supplies. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. EU energy ministers are holding emergency talks as we speak in Brussels to find consensus on a plan to cut reliance on Russian gas supplies. It's been the topic of debate for months, but a Monday announcement that Russia will further cut gas deliveries to Europe has spurred leaders into action today. The EU's energy commissioner expressed confidence an agreement will be reached. The BBC's Jessica Parker, though, who's seen a draft of the agreement in Brussels, says there are differences among members that will likely require a compromise deal.
It probably won't look exactly like what the Commission proposed last week, which was this 15% blanket reduction in terms of gas consumption across the EU. It would be voluntary, but with the possibility, if things got really bad, of becoming mandatory. Some countries, we were just hearing from Poland's environment minister, saying that this should basically be up to individual nations to decide what was best, and that many countries were kind of going down this road anyway. And then I think also some just disagree with the 15% target, because perhaps if they are an island nation not connected to the EU gas grid, so Ireland's one example, then this target doesn't really need to apply to them. So what we're looking at is this idea of a 15% voluntary target, but with lots of holes and exemptions in it.
So if it's voluntary and we eventually see Russia completely cut off Europe from its gas supply, what does that mean?
Well, so under that scenario, you could see it become mandatory because it's a kind of urgent situation. And one of the things that's been debated is what kind of trigger mechanism would you have? How much scrutiny would that trigger mechanism come under? How much control would countries have if suddenly this was a mandatory target? Worth saying, the period that this is looking at is basically from the beginning of August, so very soon, to the end of March. So giving countries, the idea is, time to prepare over the last bit of summer as they head into autumn and then into winter, and over that period try and achieve a 15% reduction compared to recent previous years. And, you know, some diplomats I've spoken to, they say actually because energy prices are so high, industry is the kind of main target here in terms of who might try and help bring this about. A lot of industries are looking at kind of ways to reduce their energy costs anyway because the costs are so high. But the aim is really to make sure that gas storage is at an 80% level. That's the aim at the moment as countries head into winter, so that if Russia does cut off supplies and the European Commission says they think that's quite likely, then that there's enough storage, hopefully, to get them through the winter, plus they're getting supplies from elsewhere.
Because that's the thing, right? Europe is so dependent on Russia for its gas supplies. So how close to that 80% target are many of these countries?
The kind of latest average figure that we heard from the Energy Commissioner, Kadri Simpson, was 66%. But some countries are doing a lot better than others. And there's some resentment, too, particularly aimed towards Germany because of its historical reliance on Russian gas. Now, it's not alone in that, but of course, it is the biggest EU economy. And some people feel that this plan is a way of ensuring that Germany's economy is propped up over the winter. But the kind of counter argument to that is that if Germany really suffered because gas was completely cut off from Russia, the whole of Europe would suffer because it is the economic powerhouse of the European Union.
The BBC's Jessica Parker for us in Brussels. Thanks for breaking this down.
Pleasure.
Well, as those negotiations continue in Brussels, the European natural gas benchmark is up 9% at this hour. Checking some other numbers, global stock benchmarks are little changed as investors keep tabs on how Russia's escalation in Ukraine will continue to affect the global economy. Inflation also a concern for earnings season as it rolls on. Walmart yesterday slashed profit forecasts. Today, London-listed consumer products giant Unilever said despite raising prices nearly 10% in the first half of this year, profit margins still fell during that period. And in Hong Kong, shares of Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba ended nearly 5% higher today. That's after it announced plans to upgrade its stock market listing there from a secondary one to a primary one. The company already has a primary listing on the New York Stock Exchange. The BBC's Saranjana Tiwari explains what the difference in classification means.
It's a technicality, but it means that investors in China will be able to directly buy shares of the country's most prominent technology company for the first time. It will also allow those investors to trade their Alibaba shares in Hong Kong or New York. In a statement, Alibaba CEO Daniel Zhang said the company was choosing Hong Kong because it's a launchpad for Alibaba's, quote, globalization strategy, and that Alibaba is fully confident in China's economy and its future.
That's Saranjana Tiwari reporting there. After 2 years of a pandemic, many tourism destinations are more than happy to be welcoming travelers back now. But in India, the rush of tourists is taking a toll on many of the nation's ecologically fragile hill and mountain retreats, as the BBC's Nikhil Anamta reports.
Early morning bird song in Mahabaleshwar. This was once the summer capital of Bombay Presidency during British rule. It's now a popular hill station among the locals. In the summer, tourists come here for some much-needed respite from the heat. These hills have always been popular among tourists. But after 2 years of lockdowns, the crowds this year have been unprecedented, and the scenes not so idyllic.
So I'm on my way to Mahabaleshwar right now, and increasingly alongside the stunning landscapes, what I see is miles and miles of snaking traffic, piles of rubbish on the sides of the road.
All the destinations which are drivable within 4 to 5 hours are seeing this.
In town, I meet Manav Malhotra, who manages the Le Meridian Hotel.
Post-pandemic, there's an upsurge in demand. Guests from all over the country.
For businesses who depend heavily on tourism, this is a chance to make up for 2 years of lost revenue. But as one walks around some of the trekking spots and hiking trails, it's hard to miss the unsavory impact of over-tourism in these ecologically fragile hills.
Watch out!
All right, so those were a bunch of volunteers pulling garbage up on a mountain slope today, and I'm trailing them. But all around me is just mounds of litter.
Mahabaleshwar wasn't as accessible because it used to take 7 to 8 hours.
Pri Shivakramani, a hotelier and marketing professional who arranged this cleanup drive, grew up in these hills.
I don't think we're at the stage yet where we can curb the number of people, but what we can do is change things, like maybe not allow buses which bring hundreds of people there, or like day trippers. It needs to be sustainable long term.
With rising disposable incomes, the boom in India's domestic tourism has only just begun. But in these pristine hills, it's a double-edged sword, threatening to destroy the very beauty that draws in the crowds. In Mahabaleshwar, I'm the BBC's Nikhil Anandar for Marketplace.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.